Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a big docket for you today. Let's get to it. First, the jury just returned a verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case. We brought it to you live. Second, Alex Murdoch thinks he shouldn't have to pay. Third, will there be charges in the death of Gabby Petito? The family seems to indicate so. Fourth, this is how criminals think. An exoneration after a lifetime in prison? Should teenagers be charged as an adult? And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't do this, okay? When you hear the story, you'll get it, but don't do this. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. It is November 24th, and this is The Docket here on Crime Talk. First, let's get rolling. Ahmaud Arbery. The jury came back after basically 9 hours of deliberation and rendered their verdicts and announced it to the world to see as it relates to Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and Roddy Bryan. Guess what? Travis McMichael, guilty of all 9 counts, guilty to malice murder, guilty to felony murder, guilty to aggravated assault, guilty to false imprisonment, and guilty of criminal attempt to commit a felony. Gregory McMichael, he was found not guilty of malice murder, but he was found guilty of numerous counts of felony murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit a felony. Roddy Bryan, guess what? Not guilty to malice murder, guilty to felony murder, not guilty to 1 count of aggravated assault, guilty to another count of aggravated assault, and guilty to false imprisonment and criminal attempt to commit a felony. They are going to prison, ladies and gentlemen. They will continue to remain in custody without bond. All three men basically appeared emotionless when the verdict was read, almost as though they could read the jury's decision based upon the evidence in this particular case. A lot of people were concerned that somehow three white men in Georgia were not going to have to face justice because, well, they're white men in Georgia and the victim, Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, was black. I rejected that notion early on. I rejected the defense in this particular case early on that they were somehow trying to make a citizen's arrest when they had no knowledge of a crime being committed, at least not one that they could say or articulate took place. And then the fact that they chased Mr. Arbery around, got out, referred to him as various racial epithets. Ladies and gentlemen, this was not a good case for the defense from the beginning. No matter how they spun it, Mr. McMichael's testimony was rejected by the jury. He tried to give them a way to find him and his father and Mr. Bryan, their neighbor, not guilty. The jury rejected it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think the jurors take their jobs very seriously and are trying to do the right thing, well, you've never been on jury duty. All right. Obviously, when sentencing comes down, we will bring it to you as well. All right. Next case that we're going to call on the docket. That's right. Alex Murdoch. That's right. The now suspended attorney in South Carolina, and he's being sued civilly. And now, obviously, he's got a lot of criminal cases going on as well. Well, in his pleadings the other day filed by his attorney, they requested that the charges be dropped and that he should be dropped as a defendant in the civil suit related to Gloria Satterfield because basically other people have paid the bill and therefore he should not be held responsible. Yeah, that doesn't work at all. So in the filings in their motion to dismiss, Alex Murdoch, through his attorneys, had argued that he has no obligation to repay the $3.6 million he is alleged to have stolen from Ms. Satterfield's family in their wrongful death claim against him because his co-defendants in the case have already paid more than that and have made up the loss. So therefore, they're really out nothing. Why should he be held responsible? Attorney Eric Bland and Ronald Richter Jr. and Scott Mangola on Tuesday urged the court to deny Murdoch's motion, saying that Mr. Murdoch is simply trying to avoid paying the price of his decisions to assert his Fifth Amendment right in the criminal trial. Now, the attorneys wrote in their brief that it is not surprising, and it is keeping with his character, referring to that of Mr. Murdoch, that Mr. Murdoch does not want to pay anyone anything. ladies and gentlemen, just because you get sued and somebody else pays the bill, it doesn't mean that there are not additional claims that could require monies being paid. So the argument by Mr. Murdoch is, well, I think it's going to fall flat on its face. We'll see what the court does, but I don't think it's going to carry the weight because there are additional damages that can be brought forth. Think of it in a criminal context as well. If I steal your car, take it without permission, I have stolen your car. I have committed a motor vehicle theft. If I bring it back and say, I know you didn't give me permission to steal your car, and I filled it up and I even washed it, so what's the harm? Well, you still stole the car. That's the point. And guess what? I have damages because I had to use a different car to get around. I couldn't get around. It caused me stress. All those types of things. Claims that can still be brought against Alec Murdoch, regardless of the fact that other people have paid the money that they thought that they should have been paid. There's various fraud allegations, treble damages that could potentially be brought as well. So good try, Mr. Murdoch. I get it. Their attorneys are doing what lawyers do, make arguments, but sometimes they fall flat on their face. We'll see if I'm wrong. All right, next on the docket, will there be charges in the death related to Gabby Petito? Well, one would think, who are you going to charge? Because, well, Brian Laundry is now dead. And as we brought you yesterday, the family had confirmed in the medical examiner's office, performed an autopsy. And there was a press release stating that Brian Laundry had in fact died from a gunshot wound in his head. And the manner of death was suicide. And it remains unclear, obviously, if investigators uncovered the weapon where they found Mr. Laundry's remain. Now, a statement released on behalf of Gabby Petito's parents, Joseph Petito and Nicole Schmidt, appeared to corroborate that Laundry's attorney's account, though the language is not specific. The statement also raises the possibility that additional people will be charged. Here's the statement, just so you hear, well, exactly the way they said it. The Schmidt and the Petito family has been aware of the circumstances surrounding the suicide of the sole suspect in Gabby's murder. Gabby's family will not be making a statement at this time due to the request of the United States Attorney's Office and the Teton County Prosecutor's Office. The family is asked to not make any comments and let the FBI continue their investigation. The family is also asked to wait for the United States Attorney's Office to make a determination on whether any additional individuals will be charged. When that determination is made, we will have a statement. So there's been some speculation over whether any charges would be brought against Mr. Brian Laundry's parents, Christopher and Roberta Laundry. Obviously, they've been under some scrutiny for not commenting on Petito or where she might be, even though their son came home alone from the road trip that had started, obviously, as a couple. We'll have to wait and see what takes place. Obviously, if the United States Attorney and the Teton County Sheriff's Office are going to charge somebody, I hate to say it, but if they've got it, charge it. If they don't, close the case and move along. I'm not exactly sure if others could be charged unless there was some sort of confession early on, and then unless the family helped Laundry get across state lines knowing that he had committed a crime. Who knows? I'm not sure exactly how they're going to prove that short of the Laundry's confessing, which I don't think they've done, nor are they going to do in the future. Next case that we're going to call on the docket. This is how criminals think, all right? Now, 30-year-old LaTanya Stewart from New York was sentenced Monday for burglarizing numerous homes between 2017 and 2018 in Westchester County. Now, police said that Stewart broke into the homes of spouses who were attending funerals and wakes, and when she did that, she took watches, jewelry, silver, and other valuable items. Stewart would use a sledgehammer and would break windows and glass doors at certain homes to gain entry. Now, police caught Stewart after pulling her over and finding numerous valuable items and information in her cell phone search detailing obituaries. Her baby's daughter was in the car with her at the time, according to the court documents. One of the victims, Lynn Cunningham of Greenwich, told the court that she suffered an insurmountable loss when her husband passed away in 2017. Returning home to find his wedding ring, watch, and jewelry stolen was gut-wrenching, she said. The judge sentenced Stewart to between 11 to 13 years in prison. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how people that are career criminals, they take advantage of individuals at their lowest moment when they're most susceptible to being a victim. Can you imagine thinking, while somebody's burying their spouse, let's go rob their home. That is a depraved, absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not like they're out doing it to, oh, I need to buy food, right? More than likely, Miss Stewart was using it for drugs, partying, or carrying on in a lifestyle. But this is the mentality, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, people make mistakes. Individuals will make mistakes. I get that. I've represented lots of individuals, good individuals over the years, that have made mistakes. And I've also represented career criminals. And career criminals are simply looking for the next easy victim. That's why you must take care of yourself. You have to be prepared to take care of you. All right? Which is a good segue into why you should go to crimetalkprep.com, get your 3-month supply of an emergency food supply, and get $100 off. Listen, in today's crazy world, I'm telling you, you have to take care of yourself. You have to be prepared for the unexpected. Go to crimetalkprep.com. All right, Kevin Strickland, you probably don't know that guy's name, but guess what? He has been exonerated after a nearly lifetime in prison. So Kevin Strickland is an inmate at the Kansas City prison, and he's been exonerated after a Missouri judge overturned his 1979 conviction for a triple homicide on Tuesday. Now, retired Missoula Judge James Welsh ordered the 62-year-old, who has spent 43 years in prison, to be released immediately. Now, Judge Welsh ruled that Strickland's conviction should be overturned since it was not based on physical evidence, but on eyewitness testimony from Cynthia Douglas. Douglas was the sole survivor of the shooting, who later recanted her statements. Now, during his time in prison, Strickland has maintained that he was not involved in the triple homicide. And on April 25, 1978, Douglas was drinking and smoking with Larry Ingram, 21, John Walker, and Sherry Black at a house that was a popular hangout spot when four men entered the house and shot them. Only Douglas survived the triple homicide and later agreed with police that Strickland could have been one of the men, picking him out of the lineup. His first trial ended with a hung jury, but a second trial and jury found Strickland guilty of one count of capital murder and two counts of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to life without parole. In 1979, Vincent Bell and Kilm Atkins confessed to being part of the group that committed the murders and told police that Strickland was not involved. Douglas also told multiple family members and friends that she wrongfully identified Strickland, even sent a message to the Midwest Innocence Project. Now, Cynthia Douglas died in 2015, but Missouri prosecutor John Peters Baker used her multiple recantations in the appeal as evidence Strickland was wrongfully convicted, and now he is a free man. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been more people exonerated over the years. And what is the one thing that usually is the basis for the underlying conviction that turns out to be faulty? Eyewitness identification. It really cannot be trusted unless somebody actually knows the person and is very familiar with them. Otherwise, it is highly suspect and should be questioned with a huge grain of salt. Next in the docket, should teenagers be charged as an adult? Take a listen to this story and let me know in the comments. So an Iowa high school Spanish teacher named Nohema Graber was reported missing November 2nd. Her remains were found in a park where she was known to take daily walks later that day. Her body was found concealed under a tarp, wheelbarrow, and railroad ties. Now, court filings reported that Graber suffered inflicted trauma to the head. Willard Noble Chaden Miller and Jeremy Everett Goodale, both 16, that's right, 16, are accused of killing Graber. Both teens attended Fairfield High School, where Ms. Graber had taught Spanish since 2012. Now, Miller and Goodale asked a state court judge to lower their bonds, but prosecutors wanted to stay at $1 million or even raise it to $2 million. The two boys were given separate court hearings 90 minutes apart. Goodale's lawyer argued that he doesn't have the means to pay the bond, and Nicole Jensen, the state deputy public defender appointed to represent Goodale, said that most Goodale could manage was probably $10,000 at most, as his father works a construction job. Goodale has no means of fleeing, and he doesn't possess a passport or a driver's license. Miller's attorney, Christine Branstad, argued similarly. She added that the prolonged detainment could have a harmful effect on the young men and hinder their development. And both Assistant Iowa Attorney General Scott Brown and Jefferson County Attorney Chauncey Moulding, referred to the brutality of the crime in their arguments. Brown said it justified keeping the bond at $1 million or increasing it to $2 million. Moulding also asked the judge to increase the bond for Miller. Now, Moulding said there is no level of outside supervision that would ensure the safety of the community. Police said in court documents that they received a tip that Goodale posted details about planning the killing on social media. The documents indicate police investigators found clothing that appeared to contain blood at the home of the teens. Now, court arraignments for both youth are set for Monday, but their lawyers have indicated they will file a written arraignment in which they will enter a plea, eliminating the need for the court hearing. Now, obviously, these two young teens will be given the presumption of innocence, but you really have to wonder, at what point do teenagers committing crimes, whether they should be treated as an adult? In most criminal systems, if the youth is charged with an offense that could be charged as an adult, it usually can be reached by the age of 14. Usually in the juvenile system, they cannot hold the youth, even if they commit murder, up until the age of about 25. So is that enough time for basically 7 years if these youth are convicted and they only spend 7 years in prison for an alleged brutal murder? Let me know in the comments what you think. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I told you, all right, this is your good lawyer free advice of the day. Do not do this, all right? So a man and a woman in Florida were hauled off to jail after they allegedly recorded themselves having sex in a trooper's squad car. Apparently, the trooper offered to give the couple, Jordan Noah and Summer Watkins, a ride to a gas station so they can meet someone for a ride home. Well, in the back of the car, Watkins reportedly said, "Baby, we should record an OnlyFans video back here." Watkins apparently said, "What if I suck blank back here?" She reportedly asked the trooper. The trooper, J.D. Perez Morales, said she obviously could not do that, and she allegedly asked again. The report goes on, "Shortly after I closed the door, Mr. Noah took his out of his shorts, and Watkins bent down and began to perform oral sex," Perez Morales wrote in his reports. Watkins can be heard saying F5O while performing the oral sex. Now, while Noah filmed it on his phone, yelling, "Can y'all hear me? She's sucking in the back of a state trooper car right now," according to the report. Noah FaceTimed a friend and Watkins bragged, "I just sucked his blank in the back of the police car." Troopers searched Noah's vehicle and discovered marijuana and codeine. Watkins was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior and a breach of the peace. Noah was charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of marijuana, breach of the peace, indecent exposure of a sexual organ, and lewd and lascivious behavior. Ladies and gentlemen, do not do that. Free legal advice, don't do that. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Crime Talks, dumb criminal of the day. Nicole Gregory, 28, was busted after a sheriff's deputy spotted her dropping a bag that held four baggies containing the synthetic opioid. After being arrested on a St. Petersburg street in Florida, Gregory reportedly admitted that she sells the drug for $10 per bump. Gregory then claimed she was selling the narcotics to make money for an attorney for a pending drug charge. According to court records, Gregory was arrested last month for selling methamphetamine to an undercover police officer. In August, she was charged with possessing fentanyl and meth. In addition to the new fentanyl wrap, Gregory was charged with four other drug counts after she was found in possession of narcotics, including meth, morphine, and oxycodone. That's all we have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.